Luke chapter 22. The title of this message is The Last Passover. On this day of the Passover, before our Lord died on the cross as our Passover, he met with his disciples. He said in verse 15 of Luke 22, "Unto them with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And this will be the last Passover which the people of God will ever observe. This is the last, final Passover on the program of God. Last one he'll ever have anything to do with. Because Paul said over here in Corinthians, "Now is Christ our Passover sacrificed for us." From this point here, when our Lord sat down with his disciples to eat this Passover, which God gave to Israel in Egypt, when he told them to put the blood on the door, "And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you," and to roast the lamb and eat all of it, and to observe that Passover as long as he had ordained for them to observe it. And this is the end. From this point on, when our Lord, the Lamb of God, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, the church will no longer observe the Passover. But the church will now observe the Lord's table, as he indicated in verse 19 here in Luke 22. He said, as he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it, gave it to his disciples, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do." No more lambs to be slain. No more sacrifices to be offered. No more blood to be put on the mercy seat. This is the end of the Passover. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11 to the church, in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, he said, "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you." That the same night, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do." This do, from this point on, this do, in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new testament in my blood. This do ye, this do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Now look back at the text, Luke 22. Those who were present, and the only people who were present, were his disciples. It says in verse 14, "And when the hour was come, he sat down at a table, and the 12 apostles with him." He sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." Now, these were not perfect men by any measure, but they believed on him. They had said before, "We believe and assure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." They were not perfect men, but they believed. Peter would deny him. He told him that. Thomas would doubt his resurrection. Philip would say to him, "How can we know the way?" Judas would even leave and never return and take his own life. But these men, 11 of them at least, believed. And all of them professed to believe. And they sat with our Lord about the table. Now listen to this. You note this in verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. They were not kneeling before him, but they were sitting with him. This was not a time when they were receiving a blessing. They knelt before him as we do. But this is not the time that they were receiving a blessing. This is a time for contemplation. This is a time for meditation, for thought, for consideration. Not to receive something, but to reflect on and remember what they had received. You understand what I'm saying? Never, never kneel before any man and take the Lord's table. That's not the way it was instituted. They were not receiving a blessing. They were considering the blessing received. They were thinking. That's what he said, this do, remembering me, thinking upon me, considering who I am, what I did for you. That's what you're doing. You're sitting here. And a lot of people want to make it appear to be a little more pious or a little more environmentally religious to kneel and take something from the hand of a priest. But that's not the way the Lord's table is to be observed. It's the Lord's table. And we sit with him and we reflect upon his mercies and his blessing to us, what he has done. That's what he said over and over again. This do, remembering me. And then notice this, it's his table. It's not our table. He presided. Listen to these verses here, verse 17. He took the cup. He gave thanks. He said, take this and divide it among yourself. He gave it to them. Verse 19, he took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to them. This is my body. Roland Hill, years and years and years ago, over in England, was a powerful, a mighty preacher of the gospel of God's grace. And he was invited to a church to preach for them. And before he was to get up and preach, they were observing the table of the Lord. And when the elders passed the bread and the wine, he reached to take it. And one of them pulled it back and said, I'm sorry, Brother Hill, but you can't come to our table. And he replied, I'm awful sorry. I was under the impression it was the Lord's table, not yours. And that all of his children were invited. Well, that's what it is. It's the Lord's table. And his children are invited. All of his disciples were there. All of them were there. And he presided. Peter was not appointed over them. And let us try to observe the table in the same manner. We're all believers. Christ is the host. He serves the table. These men here are just serving in his name, for his sake, in order to get the table into your hands. But he's the host. It's his table. All right, the two simple elements here in Luke 22 says he took the bread and the wine. Two simple elements. Unleavened bread. How do you know this was unleavened bread, preacher? In a Jewish household, when the Passover was observed, there was no leaven anywhere in the house. You men who teach the word know that. No leaven was anywhere in that house during Passover time. And this is unleavened bread. This is pure wine. And this bread and wine speak of several things about our Lord. It's important, I believe, to use the unleavened bread and the wine for several reasons. First of all, the bread and the wine that we have before us tonight speak to us of his incarnation. God is spirit, but in Christ, God became flesh. And this bread and wine, this is earthly elements. This is not spiritual heaven. This is earthly heaven. This is bread, real bread and real wine. And our Lord had a real body and real blood. That's what this bread and wine is saying. He had a human body. A body hast thou prepared me. He said, touch me. Touch me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. So the bread and the wine indicate, speak to us, that he was a real man with real body and real blood and real suffering. Then this unleavened bread and wine speak of his holiness. There's no leaven, there's no sin in his body. He knew no sin. He did no sin. His body saw no corruption. There was no death and sin in him. And wine speaks of the purity of his blood. He wasn't in any way connected with Adam's transgression. He was of pure blood and a holy body. And this unleavened bread and wine speak of his holiness. And then the bread and the wine speak of his sufferings. This bread at one time was wheat growing in the field. And it was cut. And it was ground under a stone, ground to powder. And then it was kneaded into bread. And then it was baked in an oven. And then it was broken. And our Lord Jesus Christ, his body suffered, bruised. It pleased God to bruise him, smitten of God and afflicted, and baked in the fires of God's wrath against our sins. And the wine, at one time within the grape, and then at the wine press, it was crushed out. And the wine, the juice ran from the grape. And our Lord Jesus Christ's blood was shed. And when you take the bread, and it's, don't do it this, don't take the bread and dip it in the wine. He died. His blood was separated from his body. And he died. Our Lord died. It was no swoon. It was no faint. He shed his blood. And when the blood, the life of the body is in the blood. And when the blood separated from the body is dead. And that's the reason he said, when he took that bread and blessed it and broke it, this is my body broken for you. And took that wine, separated from the bread and from the body, this is my blood poured out, shed for you. And then that substitution for you. It tells that my body broken for you in your place. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, for our peace, was laid on him. His blood was shed for us, substitution. And then this bread and this wine, when we drink it, the wine and eat the bread, speaks to us of our union with Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not Christ studied and heard about, Christ received. By faith we receive him as we receive this bread and this wine in a few moments. And chew it up, swallow it. Drink the wine and swallow it. It becomes a part of our being and our bloodstream. Tomorrow morning I'm supposed to go in for some blood tests. And the nurse today said, now, after midnight, don't you eat anything. Don't you drink. Y'all know all about that. Don't you drink anything. Because we want your blood to be free from anything you take in. So when I take this in, I take in Christ. And he runs through my bloodstream, my spiritual bloodstream, just like that food. If I eat something after midnight, it's going to show up. And you eat Christ, it'll show up too. Really will. All right. So, two simple elements, bread and wine. But oh, how they do talk to us. And then two simple words. Look at verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do. Now, it seems like that's clear enough, doesn't it? this do, not something else. Don't dress up for this occasion in a robe or a uniform to make it more impressive. Don't put a row of candles up here to make it more impressive. Don't form a processional. Don't appoint some officers and officials and some aides. Don't have some crosses and make signs. Don't utter some strange words that nobody understands in a foreign language. Don't try to change this bread into the actual body of Christ and make it a saving ordinance. Don't do that. Don't say this blood, this wine is anything but wine. It's not anything but wine. It is not the blood of Christ. It represents the blood of Christ. Just as that lamb that was slain in Egypt, it wasn't the Savior. It represented the Savior. The blood on the door didn't hold back the wrath of God. The blood of Christ held back the wrath of God. And don't try to, this do. Take the bread, give thanks, and eat it. That's simple. Take the wine, give thanks, and drink it. This do. All right, let me give you, and then here in verse 19, four simple words which tell us why we do this. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance. This do not as a sacrifice, in remembrance. Turn to Hebrews 9. Hold your hand there in Luke 22. We'll come back. But Hebrews 9. This is not another sacrifice. There's just one sacrifice, and that's his blood. In Hebrews 9, verse 26, verse 25 says, not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 10, verse 12. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Listen, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Don't call this a sacrament, a saving ordinance. It's not. It has no saving power. This bread is not a sacrament. It's not a saving ordinance. We do not do this in order to be saved. We do this because we are saved. To remember him who redeemed us and how he redeemed us. All right, this do in remembrance of me. How do I remember my Lord? Well, first, I remember him as my representative. Galatians says this. You're familiar with it. It says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, in human flesh, to redeem them that were under the law. He came as our representative. I remember him as walking this earth. Hebrews, I do want you to look at Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read this right here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. This is how I remember him. Hebrews 2, verse 16. For verily, he took not only on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, their nature. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, tried, he's able to succor them that are tempted. I remember him as having walked this earth in my flesh, my representative. Second Adam, the Lord from above. Secondly, I remember him as my sacrifice and atonement. Now, a person cannot, I don't know how, they possibly can read the Bible and not see the relationship between forgiveness and blood. How can you read the Bible in the Old or New Testament and not be aware of the relationship between blood and forgiveness? For example, Abel, his brother brought whatever he brought, but there was no blood involved. Abel brought the blood, and God had respect to his offering. He was pleased with his offering because it was blood, and he forgave him. Cain bore his judgment. The Passover in Egypt, on every home where the blood was placed on the lintel and the doorpost, God's judgment passed over. That's where we get the name Passover. His judgment passed over. But every home where there was no blood, there was death. See the relationship, blood and forgiveness. In the Old Testament, let's look at Hebrews 9 here. Hebrews 9, verse 7. Hebrews 9, verse 7. It says, "But into the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood." Not without blood. Never without blood. There's no forgiveness. Look down at verse 22, Hebrews 9, verse 20. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood the tabernacle, all the vessels, and almost all things are under the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness." There's no forgiveness. You see, the relationship between blood and forgiveness. Will I be saved? Not without blood. Will my sins be forgiven? Not without blood. He says, without the shedding of blood, no remission. And here in verse 23, Hebrews 9, "It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, with the blood, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than bullocks and goats and sheep. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. His blood maketh atonement for our sins." I remember him as I come to this table as my representative in human flesh. I remember him as my sacrifice, my atonement. And I remember him as my mediator, my high priest. I have a high priest, and so do you. We have a high priest. That old high priest in the tabernacle, he was ordained of God to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. He was ordained of God. And seeing that we have such a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's ascended to the right hand of God, let us come boldly and find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. I remember him in that way. He's my mediator, the only one. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians 11, I remember him in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, as coming again. He said, before he left his disciples to go back to the Father, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." So as we take this bread and wine, in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come." All right. They ate the last Passover. It may be this will be our last Lord's table. Maybe. Because we won't need it then. We remember, you take this bread and drink this wine You show the Lord's death till he comes. No more Passover, no more Lord's table. Because faith is going to give way to sight and hope to reality, the presence. The hymn writer said, in memory of our Savior's love, we keep this solemn feast where every humble believing soul is a welcome guest. By faith we take the bread of life with which our souls are fed, and the wine in token of his blood that was shed in our stead. We see thee at thy table, Lord. By faith we see thee with great delight. But oh, how complete our joy will be when our faith is turned aside.